Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like lobbyist Jack Abramoff possibly going back to prison at some point in the near future. I guess he pled guilty in a fraud case involving cryptocurrency. And look, you know, you give these guys credit. They've always got their hands in something. It just seems he's not very good at it. Or he was really good at it, but got really, really greedy. So when I saw this story, I'm going, I got to ask my good friend Bob Ney his thoughts. That's why I've got our good friend Bob Ney back on the line. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you, Rick.
So I'm
I haven't seen him. I haven't talked to him. I don't know anything about this.
So you're not involved.
You're right, for the record. That was the last one. I, of course, got in trouble with Abramoff when he had the whole scandal going down when he and Tom DeLay, did a few things here and there, and then he helped DeLay build all his political power base and money base. And I got wrapped up with Abramoff, and then, of course, I went to a federal institution not far from him. I was in Morgantown. He was in Cumberland, Maryland. But I tell you, Rick, I was shocked when I saw this. You would think, he would learn. And they had undercover FBI agents, from what I read. And then they said, "Will you lobby?" And then he didn't register. But it went beyond that too. It wasn't just a matter of registering. Now they went after other people for foreign registration. This was not registering domestically and lobbying, and then some fraud and some fake op-eds in a newspaper and on and on and on.
So same old deal, just a different mm-hmm. different issue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he didn't learn, and you learn from mistakes. Obviously, Jack didn't, and from what I see, he's going to, he's doing the plea deal, and he's going to do some time. I think he's 62 now.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a young guy, and I'm like, at a certain age, you go, prison isn't the place for me.
Right, he went, because he's 4 years younger than me, and he went to prison in 2006. So he's been out, for probably, almost 10 years or so.
Yeah, well, I saw that and I go, I got to ask Bob if any thoughts or if any, kind of, because for me, I'd be going, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I really was taken back. I knew he was involved in lobbying because I haven't seen Jack, but I knew he was because there was a couple articles about it. And when he got involved in lobbying, I thought, why would you go and do that, why on earth would you want to get back into that? And, of course, he did, and now this is where he's going to end up.
Now, is he barred from lobbying? Is that part of this?
Well, I would assume. Look, he lobbied. I'm sorry, he wasn't. He lobbied when he got out of prison. He eventually lobbied for some group or something. This one, he didn't report it.
Right.
So he's actually, he was a lot, even though he went to prison for lobbying, irregularities and crimes, he, when he got back out, was still doing some. So, this wasn't a violation of, where you shouldn't lobby. This was a fact he didn't report it. And then they had fake op-eds that dealt with Kim Jong-un and Bitcoins. Jeez. And then they had fraud because they listed inaccuracies, so, whole deal there.
Anything to make a buck, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's
sure.
What it is.
I think he owed $28 million in fines from the first time, I believe, if I remember correctly.
$28 million?
Yes. Oh, yes. He owed an outrageous amount of restitution.
Because the last thing I heard about him is he was delivering pizzas. He was opening a pizza shop or something.
Well, what they do is when he got out of prison, he was working at a pizza shop. When I got out of prison, I went to work for Talk Media News, and I can remember my probation officer. I wrote about this in my book, Sideswipe, and he sat there and he's pointing his finger and he said, "You will not be on the radio." They were not wanting me because of John McCain. John McCain was running around the country saying, "I put Bob Ney in jail," and then I got out, and he sort of shut up about it. He was trying to look, clean, right, that he took care of the lobbyists, et cetera. So they tried to actually tell me I could not go on radio, and we were going to file a federal lawsuit, and eventually they just said, do what you want. So But he got out of prison, and then you're kind of restricted where you're going to work. So he ended up in a friend's pizza shop, but that was just until he got off probation.
Yeah, see, that's the last I'd heard from him. And I had thought that'd be the last you'd hear from him. He'd go on, and you know, someone would give him a cushy job to stay, you know, to hush up and go away, and that'd be it.
Yeah, because he knew a lot and on a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people did not go to prison for their connections to Jack. And then he started giving speeches, I think $5,000 to $10,000 a clip around the country. He did that for a while.
See, that's what you should do. Go on the speaking tour.
I should. Well, I'm past my prime now. So I'm happy just being on your show.
There you go. Good stuff. So let's talk about the big stories. We've surpassed, what is it, half a million deaths now? They're saying well over 10 million people infected globally, over a half a million dead, and it's a new strain coming around the corner.
Right, and then every morning I look at the the dashboard with coronavirus, and you're right, 500 some thousand worldwide, and then as of today there are 125,000 deaths in America. I remember when we were talking about getting to the 100,000 point. Well, there's 125,000 with 685,000 recovered. The testing is interesting. It's that they list the testing as 30 million. And I guess that must be accurate, but I'm surprised they even got to 30 million.
So out of 30 million tests, 10 million are positive? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. That's what they had. I'm sorry. They had total deaths of 125,000. They had 2.5 million people were infected, and 30 million were tested.
Oh, that's just for the U.S. then, okay? Because the CDC came out the other day and said that they actually believe it's 10 times higher than that. You know, they were claiming somewhere around 20 million people have it, and just probably a lot of people don't even know, which is the scary part of this, because the spike we're seeing throughout the South, to me, is extraordinarily worrisome, because I fear that, you know, in states that went through what we went through, have completely opened up by now, and we end up right back where we started from.
Well, yes, and Rick, there's something else here with the feds, too, and this is what just drives you crazy. The CDC, when they were announcing the testing, they weren't distinguishing between a test that you have had the antibodies at one point in time or you are currently positive. So then, you know, they don't know, well, this person needs quarantine. Well, are they actually actively, you know, positive, or was that from before? And so this whole testing, I mean, the country really, you know, never got into it. I mean, from the White House, just never did.
Poor leadership.
Speech the other day.
Yeah, poor leadership and poor handling of this right from the start. But again, you know, what do you expect? I also wanted to get your thoughts on this story about Russia, which I find extraordinarily disturbing. You buy in any of this?
Well, there's a couple of things. Going straight to the issue, you know, because I have followed, I've been in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I've followed the Middle East. As you know, I lived in Iran at one point in time during the revolution, and Saudi Arabia. So I've, you know, followed this from my capacity then in Congress and still now. And is Russia capable? That's the first issue. Is Russia capable of doing what? Yes. The answer is yes. They're capable of paying, and there were American deaths result of their paying money.
Yep, I don't doubt a bit of it.
Right. That's number one, because people are doubting that. Oh, well, they fought in Afghanistan. The Russians wouldn't do that. Yes, they would. So that's number one. And the second one is, as far as, you know, who knew what and when, I don't know that we ever will know, but I find it, even if the NSA or the CIA, the intel agencies, even if they thought it wasn't credible, when you would hear something like that, it would be reported to the White House. I can't imagine. They say, well, okay, we'll make a judgment call here and not tell them.
Yeah. Do you buy any of the argument that, you know, the intelligence community wouldn't trust him with it? Because, you know, right when he took office, you know, I was talking with people who were saying, well, you know, the intelligence agencies, you know, they're a little leery because he's, you know, loose lips kind of thing. So there's only so much they may give him. There was a fear that that might be the reality, that they wouldn't tell him. You're saying there's no way they didn't tell him.
I think that they had to have been told. Now, I understand, though, that theory, because, you know, he says things. And I know in Congress at one point in time, frankly, and I was actually in a meeting at one point in time where people were refusing to tell certain members of Congress certain information, classified information, because they thought they would leak it. So, you know, it's not uncommon that there are individuals you say, I don't know if we should say that in front of them. And I've seen situations personally like that.
Yeah, Trump being one of them.
White House. Yeah, I'm sorry, what's that?
Trump being one of them, in my view.
That's very possible. Very possible that they did that. But in this case, I would think, especially, think about this for a second, with the touchiness of the whole Trump-Russia from day one, you know, the Ukraine, I mean, everything, you would think that they would tell him something like this because of, you know, his relationship with Putin, and he was pushing for Putin to be included in this September.
Right. Now, the reporting that I've seen on it lately is he was told probably in March it was part of a presidential daily briefing. Now, I would argue that he probably doesn't read the presidential daily briefings. So if it was in there, you know, maybe there's plausible deniability. I don't read would be the argument. But the reporting on it is, you know, he was made aware of it. And the other reporting I've seen is, you know, they knew as far back as a little over a year ago.
Right. I mean, they're all quoting the March, you know, time frame. But according to what you read, what he said, and they speak for Pence, too, that, you know, neither one of them sort of knew until the article broke in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. And I just find that incredibly hard to believe.
I find that impossible to believe, that if you're targeting U.S. troops, you know, especially since this is supposed to be the, you know, the troop president, you know, the guy who loves the troops the most, you would think that he would have responded. So are you surprised that we haven't heard a response yet or anything? Or is this something that you would even keep close to your vest if you were going to respond?
Well, I think that's what they're doing. I mean, you know, how do you respond to this? I mean, if you were an intel agency, you know, official, you would even directly to the president, you would say, look, we don't believe this, but you need to hear what we were, you know, told, even though we don't believe it. I mean, you would at least tell that part of it. And so now the fact that it's just the answer is, well, it's fake news, I didn't know, makes me think that maybe this story still has legs, because somebody's going to talk to somebody who was in a room somewhere.
Yeah,
and heard something.
And maybe we'll have a hearing on it, and maybe we'll have enough hearings to compete with the Benghazi hearings.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's possible. There was a lot of them.
There was a lot of them, to find out exactly what we knew from the start.
Right, right.
Sad, sad stuff. But the campaign's coming up 137 days?
Right.
Until the big election. And you've now got Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the big battleground states. And, you know, Trump and Biden in both states. Any word on what's going on?
Yes, Marquette is interesting in Wisconsin. Of course, you know, your home state of Pennsylvania, you'll know well, as I do, Ohio. And Ohio is, it depends which section of Ohio you're in. Trump is slightly up or he's slightly down. Wisconsin, though, in February, they were dead even, Trump and Biden. Then it went 3 points for Biden, and that was around March. And today it's 9 points that he's up. I still think that, again, it's significant, and there's a lot of stories about, well, maybe Trump will drop out. No way. There's absolutely no way he's going to do that.
Nope.
And there's some time for the election yet, but if I were running the Trump campaign, I would be alarmed because of the numbers. And people. And here's another fake news. When the White House, the Trump campaign says, well, you know, it's the same situation as Hillary last time. No, it's not. The numbers are different. It is not the same situation. And here's the alarming part for the Trump campaign: Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Ohio. Just those three states right there. Forget Michigan for a second. Those three states right there, what's going on? This was not the same with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And also, you know, his only real talking point was that the economy was booming, not booming in those three states.
Right, right.
Finally, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Iranians evidently put forth an arrest warrant for Trump. Why?
Well, they do this. They're called fatwas, and they put on, well, they technically will put, you know, a price on your head. You know, they put out the, they want somebody killed, just like they did the author that time, Rushdie. But on this case, they just are making the point that, you know, he's, and from their point of view, a criminal. This is more or less for the clerical leaders in Iran to, you know, to look good. Look, they've got the virus raging over there. They've got this brutal regime. So they're going to come out and say, okay, we want Trump arrested. You know?
Need a distraction.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah. Because things are not good over there, and so it's going to be a distraction. And the Iranians in general, you know, do not like President Trump. So whereas the Iranian people before... I lived in Iran. A lot of Iranians still like Americans, but with Trump's case, they don't like him. And of course, the clerics are trying to keep their power. So it's a good thing to say, well, let's arrest Trump.
Yeah, yeah. No, they focus their hatred on a foreign leader. Sure, I get that. As where our leader is focusing the hatred on people protesting in the streets
right.
for equal rights and equal treatment.
Right.
I get it.
And foreign, he will also, you know, he's focused on, not that Iran's a picnic, I understand that, but he's also focused on certain things, you know, with Iran and the Iran nuclear deal, which actually was containing nuclear buildup in Iran.
Yeah.
It was
actually working.
Sure.
Bob, as always, good stuff. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.